Hi, everybody. I hope this is working. It's Mrs. Neuberger, and I think there are some students on this line that I have not taught this year, so welcome. And I usually teach Megillah, Ksuvim, but I was asked to teach Haggadah, so that is what I plan to do. Emir Tashem, this short lesson that we're going to have together. I hope everyone's doing well and keeping themselves busy with good things. But I just wanted to start with the idea that Rev Chaim Kanievsky, right now the Gadol Hadar, who is from Bnei Brak, everybody knows, put out a letter, I think about a week ago, talking about the coronavirus, what people could do to protect themselves and their loved ones. And the letter's written in Hebrew, but I'm going to just say over, you know, a little bit. I'll read a few words that, you know, take out a few words from it. And it says, I'll call Adam, lehischazek, lehizaher, milashen, hara, v'rachilas. And then a little while after it says, lehischazek, b'midas hanava, ulehavir almidosav. So I figured before we start actually learning Haggadah, let's just, you know, try to take out something from what's going on. Obviously, we're not Nevi'im, and I'm definitely not one. But to learn something, you know, to take in, you know, upon ourselves would also be very good. So Rav Chaim Kanievsky saying four, you know, two things, but if you had to divide it up, basically the idea of Lashon Hara and Rechilas. And Rav Chaim's talking about Anava and Maver Al Midosev. So when we say the idea of Lashon Hara, everybody knows Lashon Hara, you know, we're not supposed to talk bad about somebody else and behind their back or whatever, you know, many different parts to that. And Rechilas, I just figured, you know, let me look it up in the way we can translate rechilas in guard your tongue. And it says, lo selech rechil ba'amecha, you shall not go about a talebearer among your people. And it says, this is the prohibition dealing specifically with Lashon Hara and rechilas. Lashon Hara is the term used for a derogatory or damaging statement. Rechilas is the term used for a report that someone has spoken or acted against a listener. Both are prohibited even when true. Just as a peddler, a rochel, which is lo selech rochel, right, goes from house to house selling his wares, so too a habitual gossip goes from a person to person, picking up and leaving behind tidbits of derogatory information about others. So if there's something that we could take upon ourselves, I know that everybody's home, and some people are more quarantined than others. But the idea is that I'm sure people are still using their phones, and that itself, people, we have to be extra careful now not to talk Lashon Hara and Rechilas about other people. So that would be one thing that Reb Chaim is trying to explain to us, Reb Chaim Kanievsky, that we should be extra, take upon ourselves now. And the other idea that he said, Reb Chaim said, which was Anava and Maver al Midosav, which means Anava, everybody, if we translate it, means to be humble. And Maver al Midosav is to, like, you know, let your pass, you know, not to be so strong on certain things. So what does that mean? A person can only be Maver al Midosav, given, be Mavater, you know, give in and let things go when they have another. When somebody is humble and says, okay, I'm going to let it go, that's the idea of Maver al Midosav. So I was thinking about that idea a little bit to go into for a few minutes, the idea of, you know, giving it up. Now, you know, today people are, you know, she didn't invite me, she never calls me, and the idea of tit for tat, you know, and we know that there's a Gemara in Rosh Hashanah, which everybody's aware of, which says, kol hamavir al midosav, ma'avirin lo al kol peshav. Whoever is, you know, let things go, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will let our averos, he'll be forgiving of our averos. So the idea is like to put down the measuring stick, and then HaKadosh Baruch Hu won't put the measuring stick against us. So, again, when we say a measuring stick, it's according to our measuring stick. That's how we are so tit for tat sometimes. So Rashi's saying over there by this kol maver al midosav ma'avirin al kol peshav, Rashi says, put away your measuring tape and don't be so tit for tat. Obviously, nobody's saying that someone should be a doormat and let people just take advantage of them, but there has to be an idea of letting things go and saying, you know what, it's okay, even though, yes, I might think, and you might be right, and that person did wrong to me, but I'm going to let it go. And I'm going to, you know, now, especially in these times that we're, you know, concerned of right now, today, right now, going on, we could say, you know, that person really did wrong me and they hurt my feelings, but you know what, I'm going to just be mevater and say, it's okay, I forgive you, and not hold a grudge. That's the midos that we need to have right now. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu, if we say, please, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, look what we're doing, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will be Emirat Hashem mevater on our averos, and Emirat Hashem, you know, let the averos that we're doing not hold us accountable for them. There are many different stories about, you know, different times where people were mevater. And just an interesting thing, that there's a Gemara in Yevamos that says that Rabbi Gamliel was on a boat and he saw another shipwreck, and he realized that that was a boat that Rabbi Akiva was on. This is a Gemara in Yevamos. And basically, when Rabbi Gamliel got to the dry land, he asked Rabbi Akiva, how did you manage? How did you, there was a shipwreck. How did you survive? And he said, I grabbed onto a plank of wood, and every time a wave came, I lowered my head and let it pass over me. So over there, it's brought down the idea over there that what does it mean when the wave passed over me? And it's brought down the idea, you want to say like a nimshal, that the rishayim that starts up with people, a person's supposed to lower their head and let the rasha pass over. And that's the idea. I think we could take a lesson from this idea of being mevater, that when there always are people who will start up with us and not be nice to us and do something and wrong us. But if we lower our head and we stand strong and we say, okay, we're going to let it go, that's how we're going to survive. And Emirat Hashem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, should, you know, make it that Emirat Hashem, everything should hopefully go back to normal, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu should see everything that we're doing and trying hard to not say Lashon Hara and to be Mevater and to have Anava and not to do Rechilos, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu should have Rachamim on us. Okay, now, I was also told to say something on Haggadah for Pesach, Emirat Hashem, right? Pesach's coming up. I'm sure a lot of you are helping at home, cleaning, Pesach cleaning. But so I'm going to say something on Haggadah, I promise, Emirat Hashem. But I just want to say one thing. I figured I have an opportunity, and this week's Parsha is Parsha's Vayakel Pekudei. And I know I'm not your Parsha teacher, but just an interesting, nice thing, which also is very apropos to what's going on now. It says in this week's Parsha, Parshas Vayakel, the Pasuk says in Perek Lamed Hei, Pasuk Aleph, in Sefer Shemos, again, Shemos, Perek Lamed Hei, Pasuk Aleph, it says, Vayakel Moshe's Kol Adas B'nei Yisrael, Vayoma Aleim Ila Hadvar Masher Tziva Hashem Lasos Osam. Okay, so over there it says that Moshe gathered Klal Yisrael together to build the Mishkan. So Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky asked, why did Moshe have to gather all of Klal Yisrael? Why specifically does the Pasuk say that Moshe had to gather them? And the answer is because by Matan Torah, all of B'nai Yisrael were Be'achdos. We were all together. We were Ki'ish Echad B'Lev Echad. We were in unity. Everyone was on the same page. Everyone was doing things together. Then came Chayta Egel. And Chayta Egel, everybody knows, we're that caused separation, that caused pira. There was separation amongst Klal Yisrael. Not everybody was on the same page. Everyone was doing different things. There were people that wanted to serve the Egel, and there were people that didn't want to serve the Egel. And the Yerushalmi over there tells us an unbelievable thing that I just think is so amazing, and every year that I prepare this, I remember, I say, wow, I never knew this. The Yerushalmi says that even with the actual Chayta Egel, there was a split there too. That there were people, that there were a few different agalim. There wasn't just one ego, and then we had people serving the ego and people who didn't want to serve the ego. Serving the ego itself, there were many agalim. So there was so much separation. So now, specifically by the Mishkan, which was going to be mechaper, correct the avera of the separation from the Chayta Egel, Moshe had to go and gather Klal Yisrael, bring them back together, because that's how HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted them, ba'achdos. So that's the idea again here, girls, that we're in a time of tzara. Yes, you don't have to, obviously get overreact and get, crazy nervous, but the fact is this is not a simple matter, what's going on in the world, but we have to be together. We as a nation, we as Klal Yisrael, we as Beis Yaakov together, we have to continue to learn and take out the lessons. And like I said earlier, we should be careful with our Lashon Hara, especially when we're on the phones now, and Rechilas, and we should be Maver al Midosav. And if we get in a fight with our sister or brother or whoever it is, we should be Maver al Midosav. We should be together in a unity, like the Pasuk is saying, Vayakel Moshe has called us Bnei Israel. We have to be Ba'achdas to be Mechaper for the Chet Eagle that was in this week's Parsha. Okay, now I will behave and go and do what I was told to do, which is for Haggadah, okay? So I don't know about notes, not notes. I'm not, anyone who knows me, I'm not into saying what we have to, you know, I don't want this to be stressful. I want this to be enjoyable, that Emor Hashem, you should come to the Seder and be able to say something. So let's start off with the idea of the Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim, okay? So it's a mitzvah to say over Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim, right? Everybody knows the Leil Seder, we get together, everybody at their home, the Emor Hashem, and hopefully with family and friends, whoever they have the Seder with or are planning to have a Seder with, and you say over Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim. So the first question that we ask is, what's the difference between every day when we have a mitzvah to say over Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim? So if everybody understands what I'm saying, I'm going to explain it. Every day in davening by Vayomer Hashem, now if you quickly pull out a sitter, which I'm going to do as I'm talking to you, if you pull out a sitter in davening, the Baruch Hashem, I hope everybody is davening every day, and we say over in Shema, we say Vayomer Hashem, and if you say it over, it says, where are we? Hold on. It says, "Asher hotzeisi yitzchem mi'eretz Mitzrayim liyos lachem elokim ani Hashem elokeichem." That's the end of Vayomer Hashem by Shema. So over there, that's the Chiyot Yetzias Mitzrayim. We're remembering that HaKadosh Baruch Hu took us out of Mitzrayim. And then we also have a little bit later on, right before Shemona Esrei, we have Ezra Havaseinu Atahu Me'olam. And then at the end also it says, "Umi baladecha ein lanu melech kol Mashiach mi'Mitzrayim ge'altanu Hashem elokeinu mi'beis abadim pidisanu." Again, a mention of leaving Mitzrayim. So again, that's the Chiyot Yetzias Mitzrayim. So the question that we're asking is, what's the difference between Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim, which we say at the Seder, Emor Hashem, and Zechira, which we say every day that we have a mitzvah to do? So Rav Chaim Soloveitchik answers this question, the question of what's the difference between Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim and Zechira Yetzias Mitzrayim, and he answers a few answers. The first one, he says, is that the first idea is the Zechira of the whole year is just to mention it to yourself, not to another person, meaning when a person davens, when I daven and when you daven, we say over Vayomer and we say it over, and we say Ezras and we say it over. But on the Leil Seder, on the night of when we're saying over Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim, you do not mention it just to yourself and not to another person. On Pesach, you have to say it over to someone else in a question-answer form. The Gemara even tells us over there that even if someone is by themselves at a Seder, which Emor Hashem, hopefully no one will be by themselves, and we hope that no one will be, then they have to say it out loud as if they're talking to someone else. So that's the first difference. Zechira, the night of Zechira during the year, you just say it to yourself, and you're not saying it over. And on Pesach, we go ahead and we say it over to someone else in a question-answer form. The second answer that Rav Chaim Soloveitchik says is Zechira, the mitzvah the whole year, we just have to mention and remember the idea. We went out of Mitzrayim. Simple, nothing too deep. But on Pesach, we have to discuss the chain of events. We have to go through all the details. We have to go through before Mitzrayim and after Yetzias Mitzrayim. So that's the second one. The third answer is, by Zechira, we just say, we went out of Mitzrayim. But here, by Pesach, we specifically need to mention the three mitzvot that we have to do tonight on Pesach, which everybody knows is Pesach, Matzah, and Maror. So it's many more details. So again, I'm just going to repeat the difference, the three differences between Zechira and Sipur. Sipur is we have to go ahead and say it over to another person, which Emor Hashem, people are with other people in general at another Seder. They say it over in question answer. The second one is that we just mention it simple. We went out of Mitzrayim. And on Pesach, we go ahead with different, with a whole chain of events and all, and discuss it and go into detail. And the third one is that we, when we go ahead on the Leil Pesach Seder, we have to go ahead and say Pesach, Matzah, and Maror, the three mitzvos. Okay. So this, now that we got an understanding of the difference between Zechira and the difference between Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim, I'm going to tell you one more interesting thing on Manish Tana. Okay, so when we go into Manish Tana, I don't know if someone's following along with the Haggadah, but there is a very interesting thing, an idea, Devar Torah, on the Manish Tana, and I actually said it over last year to my class, and I just think it's pretty unbelievable. It's talking a lot about things that are very, that are going on even now. So hopefully we could take out a lesson from it. Okay, so if you have a Haggadah, that's good. You could follow along. If not, then even just to write down the few things that might help you concentrate a little more. Okay, so we're going to start with, it says, Manish Tana Halayla Hazem Yikol Halaylos. And I'm going to read this from, if anyone wants to know where I'm getting it from, it's from Touched by a Seder, Rav Yechiel Spiro. Okay, so it says, why aren't we sitting at the Seder table with a Karban Pesach? Why hasn't Mashiach come? The Talmud relates that the first Beis HaMikdash was destroyed because the Jewish people had committed the three cardinal sins, Avodah Zarah, Gilui Arayos, and Shvichas Damim, adultery, forbidden marriages, and murder. But the second Beis HaMikdash was destroyed because of Sinas Chinam, senseless hatred. Rampant Lashon Hara had stoked the fires of hatred among factions of the Jewish nation, leading to the loss of the Beis HaMikdash. If the reason we sit here this evening without a Karban Pesach is because of Sinas Chinam that prevailed and continues to prevail, then shouldn't there be some sort of reminder or commemoration alluding to the terrible sin? If we glance through the order of the Seder, this seems to be nothing. Not once do we lament the fact that if only we would have done away with Sinas Chinam, then all this would be so different. But perhaps we should examine the questions of the Manish Tana a bit more closely. If we do, we will discover that indeed there is much to be learned from one of the most well-known sections of the Seder. First of all, the word matzah itself has another meaning in addition to the usual one. It connotes matzah umeriva, arguing and dissension. Let us now reread the first question of the Manish Tana. Manish Tana halayla hazeh mikol halaylos. Why is this layla, this galus, so different from all the others? Why have we suffered so much? Why has it been so long? The other exiles lasted for a relatively short period of time, but this galus is almost 2,000 years long. The answer is because halayla hazeh kulo matzah. Tonight is completely matzah. In this galus, there is only strife and disagreement. Even though there is Torah learning, chesed, and other wonderful deeds being done, Mashiach hasn't come yet because kulo matzah. There is so much machlokas, so much discord. So I'm stopping for a second just to, for those who are, so to say, I don't want to say this, but spacing out, I will fill you in on what we're saying. The idea is that we want to bring from the Manish Tana, Rav Yechiel Spiro is bringing the idea that from the Manish Tana we could bring out the idea that there is matzah is matzo meriva, which is machlokes, and that we're still in halayla hazeh is galus. That why are we in galus? And we know that there was sinas chinam, and now I'm going to continue. Rav Matisyo Solomon's Sefer, Matnas Chaim, contains a beautiful essay on this theme. He quotes from the Ben Ish Chai that indeed there is a strong remez to the reason for this long and bitter exile. In the third part of Manish Tana, the child states, on all other nights we do not dip even once, but on this night we dip twice. Here lies the greatest and most powerful allusion to Sinas Chinam in the Seder. Tonight we dip twice. We dip our karpas into Mei Melech, and our marar into charoses. When Yosef was sold, his brothers took his kesonas pasim, related to the word karpas, and dipped it into blood. It was this blatant and notorious act of sinas chinam which eventually led to our slavery in Egypt. In fact, it has led to tremendous tragedy and heartache throughout our painful exiles. So again, girls, I'm stopping for a second. It's saying the idea of the second question of Shavachol Halidus Anu Ochlim Sha'ar Yerokos Alazem Maro, and then Shavachol Halidus In Anu Matzvil Afilu Pa'am Echas Halayla Zeh Shtei Pa'amim. The dipping of the of into Karpas is the idea of the dipping of the coat of Yosef, which the brothers did, which started Machlokas, okay? That started the Machlokas because Klal Yisrael had to, you know, go down to Mitzrayim and was not good. Okay, let's continue. Chazal tell us that the Asara Harugei Malchus, the 10 holy martyrs of whom we read on Yom Kippur during Musaf and on Tisha B'Av during Kenas, were killed as a result of Yosef's brothers selling him. As the king who administered the punishment so boldly stated, V'gonev ish umachro mos umayamos. One who kidnaps another and sells him, that person is put to death. Furthermore, in the Meshachachma, Rav Meir Simcha HaKohen of Devin stresses that the Asara Harugei Malchus is not a singular phenomenon. Rather, every time we display sinas chinam for our fellow Jews, the horrific punishment of the Asara Harugei Malchus is administered again. Think of it. How many tragedies do we endure that seem totally senseless? Perhaps if we would love and respect one another more, we could help to prevent some of these tragedies. Ladies, does this sound apropos? I think it does. The Chafetz Chaim once told a group of people, if I asked you all for extra money to help rebuild the Beis HaMikdash, you would gladly run and give it. But Hashem doesn't want and doesn't need our money. He just wants us to stop the fighting and the hatred. So again, I'm stopping there for a second. The idea is that money is not going to help to build the Beis HaMikdash. Yes, everybody can give a donation. That's not it. HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't want machlokas. HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't want us fighting. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants what Rav Chaim Kanievsky is saying now, which is to be mevater, let things go. Right? I'm continuing. The first dipping of the karpas alludes to the dipping which jump-started our galus. The second dipping alludes, which is what we said earlier with the ksonis pasim. The second dipping alludes to the dipping of utavaltam agudas esav, the dipping of the hyssop branch to smear the blood of the karban pesach on the doorpost and lintel. This helped our geula to get started. In fact, the word agudas means a banding together. The dipping of the maror into the charoses softens the bitterness and takes the sting out of the unpleasantness of the maror. The second dipping, which hints at the unity of our people, is a portent of the geula. Rav Elchanan Wasserman notes that throughout the ages there has been thousands of false blood libels against the Jews. But he asks, we have a tradition that sheker ein lo raglayim, falsehood cannot last. So how could these hurtful accusations, which have caused so much heartache and death, have lasted for so long? He explains that the blood libels exist because we allow them to. We started the entire crime of creating lies and falsehood when we dipped Yosef's ksonas in the animal blood. I'm stopping there for a second. So the idea is that we started the sinas chinam, we started the falsehood, we started all the blood libels, we started all the tzaras when they went ahead and had machlokas and dipped and pretended that he was dead. This sinas chinam has never stopped. And as long as we fan the flames of hatred, we will not be able to get the Yeshua we so desperately need. Ladies, we have to start to not do Lashon Hara. We have to be careful not to do Rechilas. We have to be Mavir al Midosav and have Anava. Tonight at the Seder, we must learn from our mistakes. The unusual stress of Bin Adam L'Chaveiro that is highlighted at the very onset of the Seder by inviting guests is a signal for us to seize the moment and accept upon ourselves the enormous challenge of stopping sinas chinam forever. So this is the idea, ladies, that we have to, girls, ladies, that we have to really take upon ourselves to be mevater and stop the sinas chinam and stop the hatred and give in. That's the idea. And once we do that, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will Amrit Hashem bring the Geula, and then we will have a Karban Pesach, like we started off saying, why don't we have a Karban Pesach at the Seder table? Why hasn't Mashiach come? Because once we stop fanning the flames, which, like Rav Yechiel Spiro said, and care about each other and take care of each other and stop the sinas chinam that started from the time of Yosef with this Ksonas Pasim, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu could bring the Geula. Okay, I'm going to say one more thing, and then we are going to end this call. The idea is that I have one more story from from Rabbi Yechiel Spiro, same idea, and it's about Erev Pesach, when sometimes things are so hectic and so busy that we have to make sure that we stay focused and stay in control. Okay, it's called Patience, preparing for the Seder. The Hasidim gathered anxiously around their Rebbe, the Beis Aaron, Rav Aaron of Karlin. It was Pesach night, and they wanted to hear his every word. Some had traveled from miles away to spend these days with the Rebbe. What earth-shattering insight might he have? In this particular year, however, those listening to the revered Rebbe would hear something very different from what they expected. Eagerly waiting for the Rebbe to start his talk, they listened carefully as he began. If only we could all learn from the great Shapsi. Now Shapsi, as they all knew, was a simple woodcutter in the village. Certainly, he was an Erlich Hayid, but what had he done to be worthy of such reference by the great Rebbe of Karlin? A few of the listeners were curious enough to find out what it was all about. So they set out for Shapsi's house on the outskirts of the town. Although most in town had already started their Seder, Shapsi was just setting up for his. They keenly observed the woodcutter, hoping to see some wondrous act that would be deserving of the Rebbe's praise. But all they saw was a simple man preparing for his Seder. When all was ready, Shapsi and his wife performed the rituals of the Seder unimpressively and moved through it rather quickly. They ate the matzah and maror, drank the cups of wine, and completed the entire ceremony in a short time. Ah, thought the men watching. Now we will see. He will probably stay up the entire night speaking of the wonders of Yetzias Mitzrayim, or perhaps he will recite Shir HaShirim with fervor and emotion. But neither happened. Instead, Shapsi cleaned off the table and went to sleep. The Hasidim were bewildered. What had the Rebbe seen in this most simple of the Jews? They went back to the Rebbe Seder and spent most of the evening reflecting about the simplicity of Shapsi Seder and the Rebbe's glowing remarks about this simple Jew. The next morning, they approached Shapsi and apologized for having spied on him the night before. They told him that the Rebbe had mentioned that they all should only be so fortunate to achieve some of the greatness of Reb Shapsi. Although flattered, Shapsi was also at a loss to understand why the Rebbe had mentioned him in this context. What had the Rebbe meant? The Hasidim realized something then. They had seen Shapsi preparing for the Seder, but they did not know what he was doing before then. So they asked him to describe the events that preceded his Seder. Hold on one sec. I spent the morning and early afternoon trying to prepare the special foods we needed for the Seder. I ground the maror and set the matzahs aside and mixed the charoses together. Last but not least, I placed the bottles of wine we would be using on the table. I then called to my wife that I would be heading to shul just a little earlier than usual to prepare spiritually for the upcoming evening. I wanted to say some kapitlach of Tehillim. My wife came out into our main room and inadvertently brushed against the table and knocked over the bottle of wine. It shattered into a million pieces, and wine splattered all over the place. Now remember, my wife, as you might imagine, had been working day and night for the past few weeks cleaning for Pesach. She would often stay up at night scrubbing areas that I did not even know existed in our home. For the last few nights, she stayed up cooking and was completely exhausted. After having knocked over the wine bottle, he continued, she was so distraught that she had lost herself and grabbed the tablecloth in one sweep, pulled it off from the table. In seconds, everything was everywhere. The matzah and myrrh and charoses and wine were strewn all over in one tremendous mess. The scene was pathetic. Becoming hysterical, seeing the mess after all she had done preparing for Yontif, she ran to her room and cried herself to sleep. I went out for a while, and when I returned to my house, I was shocked to see that the place was still a mess. I woke up my wife to see if she was all right. She began to scream and yell at me that it was all my fault that the wine had fallen over and caused such a mess. I thought for a moment and realized how much pressure she must have been under the past few weeks and how very careful I had to be. All I told her was, I'm sorry, it will never happen again. I walked into the room and began to clean up the mess. It took me a long time, but I was able to get everything back into shape. I carefully set the table with items for the Seder. Not wanting to wake my wife, who had gone back to sleep, I began the Seder. But just then she appeared. With a smile on her face, she sat down and we celebrated the Seder together. Turning now toward the Hasidim, who had been listening to him, Shabtai looked around and shrugged his shoulders. I really don't know why the Rebbe told you anything special about me or my Seder. It was really nothing special. The Yetzer Hara is very cunning and shrewd. He knows that on Seder night we are all but untouchable. We have displayed limitless effort and work to ensure that we have a house completely free of chametz. We will talk about Yetzias Mitzrayim all night. So he designs a plan to attack in another way. He causes us to get angry. He is able to do this because we are so totally focused on the performance of the mitzvot that we fail to realize what else is going on. On a night as important as this one, let us garner our strength to overcome whatever may come our way. If we are patient and understanding, then nothing can temper our desire to make this a truly memorable night. Ladies, this is a story to just end off with, the idea that we have to stay calm, and yes, we're all helping, and we all have responsibilities, but we have to stay focused on that HaKadosh Baruch Hu took us out of Mitzrayim, and that in Mirtz Hashem there will be a Geula from what we're going through now, Mirtz Hashem, at the right time, and we have to just stay calm, and it shouldn't cause us to go overboard, or to lose our temper, or to lose our cool. We have to stay focused and realize that we're an Am Nivchar, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu put us in this situation, and in Mirtz Hashem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, just like we are so close to the Geula of Yetzias Mitzrayim, which we're going to be talking about in a few weeks by Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu should give us the strength and help us and guide us through everything, and in Mirtz Hashem, we should have a Geula from this terrible thing that's going on. And ladies, I hope that you have a good next few days and try very hard to help and to stay upbeat. Have a good day, everybody.